Well, good morning, everyone, and I welcome you here in Jesus' name this morning. And I too want to welcome your visitors that are here, and I hope you feel welcome, and I hope you can worship here today with us. For a message this morning, I wasn't thinking to talk about Thanksgiving, and I thought, well, it's after the fact, and I was going to preach about something else, and I read an article that a man wrote about what we would consider the first Thanksgiving, the pilgrims and that story. And it impressed me so that I decided to talk about Thanksgiving. And yet it won't be focusing so much on the Thanksgiving part. I'm going to read about that. But it will give us what we really should have learned better probably actually from the pilgrims than just the Thanksgiving story. And Thanksgiving, basically, the definition, the expression of gratitude, especially to God. Luke 7, verse 29 and 30. I'll read that. Leviticus 7, verse 29 and 30. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, "He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the beast it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord." And so God told the children of Israel that they were to personally thank him. They were to make a personal effort to thank God and to bring an offering of thanksgiving. Numbers 11, verse 4 through 6. Numbers 11, verse 4. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes.'" You see here a miracle that they seen every morning outside their tents. This miracle, and yet they soon demanded more, and they talked of the good food that they had, and they were not thankful for what God was giving them. There's different stories in the Bible of thankfulness. You think of Hannah when she had Samuel. She was grateful for what God had given her. He had answered her prayer, and she gave Samuel back to God for the rest of Samuel's life, it says, for his whole life. The 10 lepers that were healed, one of them realized what he needed to do, and he turned back and he thanked his Lord. And then there's different stories also, but thinking about Jesus feeding the 5,000, he took a little bit and he thanked God for it, and he fed many. And so thankfulness does big things. It changes the way we live. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, I want to read that yet. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night." So we should thank God regularly, not just on Thanksgiving, not just the last Thursday of November. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." So how do you view Thanksgiving? What do you think about when you know Thanksgiving's coming up? What goes through your mind? If you're like me, one of the first things you think about is where you're going to spend Thanksgiving. Are you going to do it at your house, or are you going to go to your family? So you think about family and visiting. and you're going to think about turkey. You're going to eat turkey. You know there's going to be turkey there. You have no doubt about that. And there's going to be a lot of other food. And I don't know how it was at your lunch on Thursday or whenever you ate Thanksgiving, but at our house, there was more food than what we normally see on our table. And we couldn't even begin to eat it all. And it was easy to get too much. There was some food left on plates, which I would rather see that than overeating. And yet there was way more than enough. And we didn't even eat dessert till later. It was just plenty. And you think, well, that's what Thanksgiving might be about. I talked to a man and he said that he overate. He ate till he hurt or whatever. And that's kind of a normal thing for people, I think, which actually is not a funny thing at all as far as overeating. It's not that the Bible condemns overeating. Do we think of Black Friday? Are we thinking about that deal we can get? And if you need something, it might help you decide to buy something. Is that where our mind goes? There's many things we could think about. And I would say that we all think about being thankful to a point. We all think about being thankful. But none of us wonder, 6 months ago, none of us wondered if we would have food for Thanksgiving. None of us wondered if we would have plenty of food, way more than we would need. Not any of us wondered about that. We knew it would be there. And so we wasn't banking on some harvest to fulfill our need for Thanksgiving lunch and for the rest of the year. We didn't wonder about that. So where did this holiday come from? And we all think about when the pilgrims came from, actually in my study there, I didn't have all my facts. I wouldn't have told you near right if I'd have just started in telling you. But they actually left, see if I can get it right here. They left New England and went to Holland. And then from Holland they came to America. And so we have this story in our mind and we envision them coming to America and we knew they had hardships and they probably was thankful when they seen land after 66 days, I think it was. I would have been all for being thankful about seeing land after 66 days because I don't really care for being out in the water where I can't see land. So I would have been real happy about that. And they probably did. They probably came ashore and they was thankful. They gave thanks for that. They was a religious people. They was coming away from persecution. And that first year, we know what happened. They got diseased. About half of them died. There was, 14 of the 18 wives died. So there was many orphans, widowers. And it was a hard time. That first, they landed, I think, in December of 1620. And so that first few months, the first 6 months, was very hard. And then that year, they had figured out, through the Indians helping them, how to raise a crop. They was able to see a future, and they was thankful. And after all this time, they held it was actually a harvest feast is what I heard. It wasn't so much a Thanksgiving. The man that wrote this article, I think he had it pretty straight. He didn't feel like they would have called this Thanksgiving there, what they did there on in October of 1621. It was more of a harvest feast that they would have been used to in Holland. And soon after this, a ship showed up, the Fortune, I think it was called, with 35 people on it that had no food and no clothes and no anything and all their excess that they thought they had to live was suddenly had places to go. And they was going to need to send food back with this ship and feed these 35 people through the winter. And the governor right away cut their rations in half, the food rations, and by the end of the winter, Almost all the food was gone. They got a little bit of food from fishing boats coming by. They had no bread, and they literally just lived what little bit they could get out of the ocean. God fed them out of the ocean. That next year, that was 1622. That next year, in May, the rain stopped, and there was no rain for 2 months. So no crops were growing, and their situation was getting very, very desperate. And so they concluded that God had brought this upon them, this was the article. God allowed it to happen. I can go along with that part. But they looked at God as the person that allowed this to happen, and he was the only one that could change this picture for them. And so they decided in 1623, that in the summer there when it wasn't raining in 1622, they decided to call a day to come together and to pray and to ask God to somehow help them. And they did that. They got up in the morning to a sunny sky, and they had this prayer meeting all day. They came together. It lasted 8 or 9 hours. And by the time they went home that evening, clouds were starting in the sky. And by the next morning, rain had started. And it rained for 14 days. And they were so blessed and so refreshed by this. After they had gathered for this, they thought the only right thing to do would be to gather again and to thank God for his goodness and for answering their prayers. And so that time there was when they would have said was their first Thanksgiving, their actual Thanksgiving. They was in a time of starvation. They was in a time when they literally went to bed regularly and didn't know where their food was going to come from the next day. And so they was very thankful for the rain. And I don't think many of us here have ever wondered about that. I know some of us have seen hard times, but have we ever seen anything close to that? And so this picture that we so easily put in our mind of the pilgrims and this whatever thinking you want to think, they got their turkey and they have their turkey carved, and we make it what we want it to, this romantic little scene or whatever you want to call it, about this nice picture. And then we go on about our life and we don't think much about it. When in reality, their first harvest feast was only the beginning of 2 years of struggle, 2 years of hardship. They had nowhere to turn. They had paid everything to get where they was. They couldn't afford. They was even in debt to people in Holland that helped them get there. But one thing the pilgrims understood, that they were only passing through, and they were concerned about their family's future and the hardship that they faced there in Holland. So that's the part I want to look at. We look at Thanksgiving, and we need to be a thankful people. But what I really want to focus on this morning is the pilgrims' reason that they was in America for the first place. They wasn't looking for the American dream. They didn't know anything about the American dream. They had went to Holland, and they didn't have persecution anymore in Holland, but they had to work 6 days a week, hard all the time to just exist. And it was wearing them down, and the prime of life ones could stand it, but the older ones couldn't. And people didn't want to come to Holland from New England out of persecution into this hard life. They didn't want any part of it. And so they didn't hardly come, and other people couldn't stand up, and they wondered what their future was. And so that's why they came to America, to have religious freedom, yes, but the goal was to have a better economic life that they could worship God and still have a future for their families. They were concerned about their families. There in Holland, the parents did not make children listen, and they was trying to have their children behave like they felt they should, and it was just a hard place to live. It was a hard place to raise a family. So that was the reason. They had a future, and they realized they was passing through. That's how they could leave friends and family and go through these hardships. The pilgrims left England because of religious persecution. In contrast to their success in escaping persecution, they found the cares of the New World much more difficult to evade. It didn't take much more than 10 years. Economic circumstances were again weakening the fabric of the church. This time, the culprit was not the pressure of want, but the prospect of wealth. And 10 years later, in their colony, sinful living was a normal thing. And so while they left one hardship, and we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit, Ernie talked about it, that you have your hardship that's so hard, and then when you have prosperity, it takes you the other way. And so this pressure was not from want against the church, but the prospect of wealth. And in 20 years, 20 to 30 years, it was a total disaster. Find my paper here. I want to read a little bit out of this article here. From across the centuries, the pilgrims remind us that there is another way. They modeled their own ideals, imperfectly, to be sure. For as the years passed in New England, they learned from experience. For as years passed in New England, they learned from experience what we have known but long ago forgotten. That prosperity has a way of loosening social ties that adversity forges. By 1644, so many of the original colonists had moved away in search of larger farms that William Bradford likened the dwindling Plymouth Church to an ancient mother grown old and forsaken of her children. And yet, in their finest moments, the pilgrims' example speaks to us, whispering the possibility that we have taken a wrong turn. And you know, I can relate to that. Have you ever wondered, has the prosperity of America, has it affected me? Has it really, have I really related to it how God would have me to? And you look at America today, and has the American society affected us? Has prosperity lulled us to sleep? We get used to the comforts and they become expected, almost demanded. There are some things we think we gotta have. You know, I went without a hot shower for 3 or 4 days several weeks ago, and I didn't realize how much I had going for me getting a hot shower. So we think we have to have these things. We don't like discomfort. We're used to them. Do I even remember to be thankful for hot water? From our privileged perspective, the pilgrims lived in abject poverty, and imagining ourselves in their circumstances may help us to see more clearly not only the sheer magnitude of pleasure and possessions that we take for granted, but also the power that they hold over our lives. God has surrounded us with countless blessings that He wants us to enjoy: loving relationships, rewarding occupations, beautiful surroundings. Yet in our flesh, we are tempted to convert such foretastes of eternity into ends in themselves, taking away our longing for God and causing us to rest our hearts in this world. So in thinking about that and thinking of the pilgrims, do I remember that I'm a pilgrim here? Do I remember that? That I'm only passing through? and that my goal is really heaven. My home is heaven, not earth. Am I really remembering that? You know, Kevin talked about sacrifice last Sunday, and it takes a sacrificial life to be a pilgrim. You're not going to get everything that you could. You will sacrifice some things in life for the sake of God's kingdom. It takes sacrifice. Psalms 39:12 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were." Hebrews 11:13-14. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they declare plainly that they seek a country." Colossians 3:1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." As strangers and pilgrims, it will affect the way we live. It will affect our view of Thanksgiving and how we celebrate it, and the way we think about God's blessings throughout the year. And that's something that I was convicted of. When I look at how I viewed Thanksgiving, I hope I view Thanksgiving different from now on, in a different way. And that is simply from a perspective of a pilgrim and somebody that's passing through. And yes, we need to be very thankful. But only being thankful because things are how we want them, because we have hot water or whatever you want to call it. Just because we have what we want and we can make happen what we want is not why we should only be thankful. Because we have way more food than what we can eat. As pilgrims, we're going to understand what God has done for us if we don't have anything. So that's all I have this morning. I just want to say God bless you as you journey through this life as a pilgrim and as you live for God. Let's stand for prayer.